Our sermon series is called what? Ecclesia. What does that mean? I've got, who's sort of carried, I think it's Joby or Job. She's a good worship leader. Job, thanks. Do you guys remember what ecclesia means? I'm going to give this to somebody who knows what ecclesia means because Rob told you guys what it meant last week. So who can remember what it means? It's a church, but what is the church? It's the, who has an answer? What is it? The body, but what, remember that we were, they're the ones that were, I'm kind of hinting at it. Who's, yeah, but the church is the called out ones. Right on. You got it. What is your name? Morgan. Right on, man. Cool. So Morgan got it. I just called you Mormon. Sorry. Okay. So, let's just start with prayer real quick. Father, we just thank you that you're a good father. We thank you that through Jesus we have access to you. Lord, I pray that you would just empower me to say what you want me to say, to not say anything that you don't want me to say. I pray, Father, that it be as it is, that you are calling them through me. Lord, I pray that you call us tonight into a deeper fellowship with you and with one another. Show us what that means. I pray in Jesus' name that we would have transformation in our life and in close communion with you through the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you guys doing good? You doing good? So what is the ecclesia? It's the, he just said it. Morgan just, the called out ones. So what I want to simply talk to you guys about tonight is the basis of fellowship, 1 John. If you guys have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Here's something that I'm understanding about Christianity, and that's that it's one thing to be saved, that God saved us from something, but it's another thing to understand what God saved you for. So God, think about that. God hasn't just saved you from something, he's saving you for something, right? We're called out of something. What are some things that God saved us from? Sin, sinful desires, what? The world. What else has God saved us from? Hell, sin and death, right? So sin, Satan, death, second death, God's wrath. He saved us through Jesus Christ, if we're trusting Christ, that's what he's saving us from. But is that all he's trying to do? Just get us away from sin, from Satan, from wrath? Isn't there something more to Christianity than just being saved from something? So what I want to talk to you guys tonight is about fellowship. God has saved you for fellowship. Can you guys say fellowship?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. And we'll go to 1 John real quick. Who has their Bibles? Hold up your sword. If it's a phone, hold up your cell phone swords. Woo! Jesus. Awesome. Okay, so I want to tell you guys a crazy experience that I had. And I got all the time in the world because you guys are the last group. So let me get my 1 John open here. Okay. I think I might have touched on this before, but there was a time in my walk with God where I was learning a lot about the cross. I was studying it, just like you guys study biology, or you guys have probably studied the cross too. But I felt empty on the inside. It's like I'm learning a lot about Jesus, and yet I miss him. Strange? Maybe. I was getting to a point where it's like, how in the heck am I just reading a lot about Jesus, and yet I feel like I'm not close to you? And I remember just crying out to God, like, what is wrong with me? And there was a lot of things that happened in that season of my life, but it changed my life. I had a dream one night, and I'm studying about the cross. I have this dream, and it's so weird. It's so weird. But it was like, and I didn't see anything in the dream. It's like, you guys ever had a conversation in your dream? Like a dream conversation where you don't see anything, you just hear a conversation going on. That's how it was. It was like I was in this state, and I knew it was the Lord, and he said, what's the first thing I did when I died? And I'm sitting there like, I don't know, you know. And what's the first thing I did when I died? Can you guys answer that? What's the first thing that happened when Jesus died?
He battled Satan.
Sort of. But what happened in Israel, physically happened in Israel, the moment Jesus died? There were earthquakes too, so.
He tore the veil in
half. Tore the veil in half. I woke up. I'm not kidding, guys. I'm in bed. I literally, like, jumped up out of bed. Like, you tore the veil. Oh, my God. And I, like, ran out in the living room, like, in my boxers to my wife and my mom. And I didn't even know she was there. I'm like, guys, Jesus tore the veil. And they're, like, looking at me like, yeah, duh. And but you know what's crazy? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will, like, give you a download, kind of like The Matrix, where you don't know karate, and all of a sudden you go into The Matrix. You guys seen The Matrix? And all of a sudden you just, you get plugged in, and all of a sudden, bam, you get a download of, and now you know karate. It's crazy. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a revelation of something that you don't quite even understand. You're just like, this is amazing, and I can't even explain it yet. Isn't that weird? So I want to talk about why that is so radical that God tore the veil. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. And I wanted to preach with this mic, but now it's kind of difficult to hold my Bible and preach or talk. So 3 through 7. Okay. John, the disciple of Jesus, says this to us. It's really the Father saying this to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that. Everybody say, so that. So that you too may have, what's the word? Fellowship with us. And then he says, and indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? He's saying, I'm proclaiming what I've seen and heard to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, and like, it's like a secret. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. The first question I have, guys, and if you can just study the scriptures with me, he says that which we've seen and heard. Well, what is that which he's seen and heard? I didn't read verse 1 and 2, which kind of gives it away. So he says in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. He's talking about something that was from the beginning, which we have heard and we've seen with our eyes and we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life, what's he say? It was made manifest and we've seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you that the eternal life, which was with the Father, was made manifest to us. And in 1 John chapter 5, the very last verse, verse 20 says, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and the eternal life. So, who is that he's proclaiming? Jesus Christ. So, he's saying, Jesus was with the Father in eternity past. He became manifest, and I got to see him, and I got to spend time with him for 3 years, and then he was crucified, and he died. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and we saw him, and I handled him. I didn't just get concepts, I actually had eternal life walking with me. I got to experience Jesus. Can you imagine what that must have been like to actually have Jesus with you physically? And so he's saying, I'm proclaiming Jesus to you so that what? So that we'd have eternal life, right? So that we'd have fellowship with each other. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So here's what I want you to get. The big idea is this. The person and work of Jesus Christ is the basis, or it's the foundation, or it's the entrance, or the door into fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. So through Jesus Christ, remember what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but what? But by me. So Jesus is saying the only way for you guys to know the Father, the only way is for you guys to experience God and know him is through me. And so we get fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. So John, he's experienced Jesus. He has a fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. So he's preaching the gospel so that people would come through Jesus into fellowship with God and with one another. You guys hear? You guys get that so far? Okay. So what should blow our minds is that we even get a relationship with God. Has that ever dawned on you guys? The fact that, whoa, I actually get to have a relationship with God. You ever thought about that? You guys seem either really bored or you're not understanding this. So what's amazing, and I don't have like that much time, but in the Old Testament, you got to understand that the way to approach God was based on blood. Blood. Can everybody say blood? Blood. Say, ooh, blood. Blood, gross. So in Genesis, remember Adam and Eve walked with God? Remember in the garden? They walked with him. There was no sin. But what does sin do? It separates. So because Adam sinned, we've all sinned. The Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God or the presence of God. We've all fallen short, fallen away from him. And there's a chasm that exists between us and God because of our sin. And instead of God, which would have been completely just and right, to let that chasm exist and send us off into an eternity, what does he choose to do? He chooses to save us. He chooses to pursue you, to pursue me. And so if we can go to Leviticus chapter 1, we're going to see, have you guys ever watched, you ever watched like the latter half of a movie and so it doesn't make much sense? Or it's like, you can tell everybody else is excited about it, but you're like, I'm not feeling it, you know? You know, when we read the New Testament, you got to understand that this is like a 3,000 year old story that's evolving. And so when we study the incarnation of Jesus and the life and the death of Jesus, we're coming into the tail end of the movie. It's like I went to go see Harry Potter with my dad, but I saw like the fourth one and I'm like, what is all of this? It was confusing to me because I don't know Harry Potter and I don't know the backstory. So when you understand the backstory, you go back to the very beginning of the movie, then, oh, I get it. And then it dawns on you, this is amazing, right? So I just want to go back into the story of God and how he redeems us. So starting with Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. If his offspring is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting. Everybody say tent of meeting. Tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement. Atonement. For him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of what? The tent of meeting. So in the Old Testament, what God was trying to, he was drawing near to his people Israel, right? And because sin separates, right? Because sin separates, he's having to draw near them through a process called atonement. Do you guys know what atonement means? I don't have any more CDs to give away, but anybody got a guess? A sacrifice? Huh? Payment? Yeah. That's basically it. Atonement, if you can remember this, I told my 5-year-old son this. Atonement means at-one-ment. Can you guys spread out your arms? Everybody, spread out your arms.
Say, at-one-ment.
So, do this. Sin separates,
and blood makes at-one-ment.
One more time. Sin separates,
blood makes at-one-ment.
Hey, you know what's kind of surprising?
What are we doing right now? What does this look like? That looks like Jesus on a cross.
That's kind of crazy. So, the way God was drawing near to us was through at-one-ment, through atonement. But it's through blood. And so imagine this. Can I get a volunteer? Okay. Come on up here. What is your name? Thomas. Everybody clap for Thomas. Thank you. Okay. So I'm visual. So we're going to do a visual illustration of what just happened, what we just read in Leviticus chapter 1. Okay, right? So Thomas, what's a really bad sin? that we can actually name in church service. Murder. You killed somebody, okay? You killed your brother because he stole your video games, okay? So Thomas killed his brother. That's a sin against Yahweh, right? He sinned against Yahweh. He sinned against Almighty God. Your sin, what does it do? Separates you from the Father, remember? We kind of talked about this last time a little bit. But so what he has to do, if he's going to make at one with the Father, what does he have to do? He has to sacrifice. So why don't you go get a bowl and bring it over here? And I'm going to play the part of the priest. Okay, you got the bowl. You can lay it right here. Now, here's the tent of meeting, and I wish I had a tent. But God's presence is in this tent of meeting. This is crazy. Did you realize that God's presence hasn't always been with us and in us? That it actually used to be in Israel? Do you guys know that? You guys realize that? Historical fact. The presence of God used to only be in Israel. God's everywhere, right? He's everywhere. There's nowhere he's not. But he made his presence manifest in Jerusalem, in the temple. So the tent of meeting was symbolic of entering into the presence of Yahweh, of God. So, Thomas, you've murdered your brother because he stole Halo whatever, or Call of Duty. I'm old school. So now you bring your bowl up here. Now, somebody bring a bowl. Okay, thank you, Josh. Bring a bowl up. Now, this is a bowl. Not a bowl like an animal bowl. I mean like a bowl. So now you're gonna get down underneath the throat of this bowl, of this animal. And now, Thomas, here's a knife. I'm handing Thomas a knife. Steak knife, right? I need you to cut first of all, put your hand on that bowl. Now you say, I, Father, transfer my sin onto this animal. He sounds charismatic, and I transfer my sin on that animal in the name of Jesus. Which there was no, they don't know the name of Jesus back then. It was in the name of the Lord. So, yeah, transfer my sin.
So
that murder went from him to the innocent animal. Now, cut the throat. Like, get the blood, dude. It's okay. You got the blood. Now, hey, this is the tent of meeting. Now, thank you. You stay there. You stay right there. You can't go back and you can't go in the presence of God. But you can stay right there. You're really close, but you can't go into the presence of Yahweh. But he's a priest, so come on in. Come on in. Now, right here we have an altar. I need you to throw the blood on the altar. Sin
separates.
Blood makes
at one
mit. So now the blood has made you
one with the Father.
But guess what? You're going to go home tonight and lie to your parents. So he's separated again. That's the problem with the Old Testament system. Thank you. You can sit down. God established a way for us to make atonement with him, to come into his presence, but not even fully in his presence. You can sit down too, man. Thanks for Thomas. Everybody give him a hand clap. Woo, Thomas. Okay. So the Old Testament, it was like, think about it. There's a target, and then there's an arrow, right? And the Old Testament was an arrow, and the New Testament, the New Covenant, is the target. So, does that make sense? The Old Testament points to Jesus. The Old Testament points to Jesus. So when Thomas cut the throat of that innocent bull, that bull didn't do anything. What did that bull do to you? How dare you? We should call whatever the company is. What is that company? Huh? PETA. They would flip out. Do you know Jews right now? Hey, guys, think about this. Jews, Yom Kippur, what do? They bring an animal and they cut the throat. Now, I'm a guy. Because I've gotten nerdy in the Old Testament and I love the cross, and we all do, I honestly wish I could go to Jerusalem and watch them cut the animal's throat and watch the blood. Because they got a visualization into something that we all are partakers of because of Jesus. So the Old Testament's very bloody. Like if you go on, it's talking about how to like cut the liver out, cut the guts out, take the fat off. You're taking all these guts and just throwing them up on the altar. Now the girls are like, yuck, that's disgusting. But the dudes are like, heck yes, right? I shouldn't say that in church. That's probably a bad word. Anyways, So the Old Testament sacrificial system, Yahweh was making a way that sin separates, the blood makes atonement, and it pointed toward Jesus. So if you guys could go to Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to look at what the Old Testament sacrificial system was pointing to. Okay, chapter 10, oops. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 19. Does anybody want to read this? Josh, go for it. Loud voice.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Okay, I'll read the rest. So therefore, thanks, Josh. That's awesome. You guys, hey now. Therefore, brothers, man, that's awesome. I just got something new here. That's the cool thing about the Word of God. It's always fresh. Say, fresh, so fresh and so clean. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to what? Stop laughing. Just kidding. You can't laugh in church. We're talking about atonement. I'm just kidding. You know, C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. That's a whole other sermon in itself. Okay, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the what? The holy places. What? Enter into it? The holy place. Nobody can do that except the priest, right? No. The holy places by the what? The blood of who? Jesus, by the new and living way that he, Jesus, opened for us through the curtain. And then he's clarifying, that is through his flesh. And actually, if you have New King James, which I was a New King James junkie for 20 years of my life, I just converted to the ESV, but sometimes I missed NKJV. NKJV. All right. But in the NKJV, it says, instead of through the curtain, it's through the veil. Through the veil. So that's going to tie back into what I was talking about with my dream. Through the curtain that is through the flesh of Jesus, through the flesh of Jesus. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, what is he calling the Hebrews to do? Let us draw near. Everybody say, draw near. Say, draw near to me. Okay, so what he's saying is Jesus, I mean, this is graphic, but it's imagine Jesus being shredded in half. And the only way into the presence of God, the only way for you to draw near into a relationship with Yahweh, guess what it's through? The flesh of Jesus. The flesh of Jesus. Why? Because sin separates, but the blood makes what? Atonement. At one minute. You're right. One minute. You just missed the at. Yeah. Atonement. Atonement. Everybody say atonement. Say at one minute. Everybody spread your arms. Let's wake up. I know this was theologically like, oh, in the but at one minute, right? At one minute. At one minute. At one minute. Hallelujah. Let's go home. Okay. No. So in chapter 4, dude, chapter 4 of Hebrews, you guys need to go do a Bible study on Hebrews. Do a Bible study in Hebrews because in chapter 4 it says this. Hey, I got happy. Stop it. Stop it. Just kidding. Sinners, man. We need to get the bowl out. No. So, you know, hey, guys, think about this. The only thing that separates us from Jews is Jesus. The only thing that okay, get it out of your system. I'll wait. You guys ready to listen? I know you've been at school all day. I'm going to Bible college, so I'm probably like so full of information, I'm just vomiting on you guys. But you have the Holy Spirit, and He's your teacher. And you can do this. We can say we can do this. If we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Rabbit trail. You guys are so distracting. So the only thing that separates us from Jews is Jesus. Why don't we sacrifice animals anymore? Because Jesus came. And what did John the Baptist preach? He saw Jesus coming from a distance to come to get baptized. And what did he cry out? Behold. Like, he's like, hey, that's him. That's Jesus. Behold, the Lamb. And everybody's like, what? And John the Baptist got like honey and locusts in his beard. He's like, hey, behold the Lamb. And they're like, That's Jesus, you know? So Jesus is coming and he's the lamb. Like, there's a prophecy about Jesus, and guess what it says? It says sacrifices you don't want. Jesus is saying this in the Old Testament. He says, a body you've made me. So think about this. The eternal Son, who was existent with the Father before anything. He was at perfect fellowship with his Father, with the Holy Spirit, loving each other, adoring one another. He said, hey, you know what? This sacrificial system, Thomas is going to keep doing stupid stuff. His sin, he's going to keep having to sacrifice. So Father, give me a body. Give me a body. I want a body. Why? Why do I want a body? So that I can come to the earth, I can fully obey the law, complete perfection, right? So that when I die, I'm not dying for my sins. I am making atonement. My blood, I'm gonna spill my blood. I'm gonna pour out my life so that I'm dying in the place of Thomas. I'm dying in the place of King David. I'm dying in the place of Enoch. I'm dying in the place of Happy. I'm dying in the place of Jordan. Every single one of us deserves to perish because of our sin. And Yahweh could have gladly said no. But in his great mercy, what does he do? He sends Jesus. Jesus willingly says, give me a body so that I can die, so that you can pour out your wrath on me, that my body would be cut up to pieces and thrown on the altar so that what? So that we can gain entrance into what? Fellowship. Fellowship. So the word fellowship, we can go back to 1 John chapter 1. Fellowship, the word in Greek is koinonia. Can you say koinonia? This is like a crazy Bible study round. Koinonia. Koinonia, you know. Sorry. Koinonia. It's like, let me get General Salas, please. Koinonia. It's like, sorry. I'm sorry. So, koinonia, what does it mean? Koinonia means, it means a sharing of something. So, Josh loves video games. Surprise, surprise. He likes Star Wars video games. Loves it. Guess what? I bet you have friends that play Knights of the Old Republic. Am I right?
Yes.
Nailed it. How did I know that he had friends that play Knights of the Old Republic? Because they share something together. They share an interest in Knights of the Old Republic. What is one of your interests? Name an interest. Sports. What kind of sport? Soccer. Do you have friends that... Well, duh. You have friends that play soccer. So, does soccer give you something to, like, oh, we feel like a team. We feel like a community. Because we share an interest. So, fellowship literally means to share something in common. What do we share in common? God. If we are in the veil, right? If we've trusted in Jesus Christ, guess what we have? We have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when you trust in Jesus Christ, guess who comes to live on the inside of you? The Holy Spirit. It's not a fuzzy. It's not a feeling. It's the third person of the Trinity. Right now, look at your belly. Put your hands on your belly. Say, good evening, Holy Spirit. Say, lead me, Holy Spirit. Guide me, Holy Spirit. Say, I love you, Holy Spirit. If you are not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you guys have not experienced at-one-ment through the blood of Jesus, you don't have fellowship with God. So here's the deal. It's not just about what God has saved us from. He saved us from wrath. Praise God. He saved us from hell. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from Satan. But I know so many Christians who are not fulfilled. They're not satisfied. I've been there. I've not been satisfied. Why? Because I'm not taking hold of what I have in Christ Jesus. And what I have is a relationship with God. C.S. Lewis, he said this, and I wish I would have got the quote, but he said, if you found nothing in the world that satisfies you, you ever thought about maybe the fact that maybe you weren't made for this world? Do you know why God made you? He made you to know you. He made you to love him and worship him and glorify him. And one of the biggest dangers, listen to me, one of the biggest dangers you guys are going to face in your Christianity and your walk with God is reducing a relationship to a concept. Reducing a relationship with God to just knowledge about God. And so here's a good example of that. I have a friend who loves to listen to sermons. He's a sermon junkie. Anybody a sermon junkie? Yeah. You guys are like, he loves to listen to sermons. He loves to study books about the Bible. He even loves to study the Bible. But you know what's really weird about him? I don't ever see him praying. I don't ever see him alone. Like, and this was back in the day, and I had to confront him about it. But I never saw him just hungry for Jesus. It was always, I'm hungry to learn about justification. I'm hungry to learn about atonement. I'm hungry to learn about the cross of Christ. I'm hungry to learn about what is the church. I'm hungry to learn about all these things about God. And it's like he felt this desire to satisfy something in his heart. So he's trying to learn about God. And I approached him one day. I said, man, like, how's your relationship with Jesus? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, how's your friendship with God? I said, because I hear you always listening to sermons or you're reading a book about God, which is good. We need sermons. Don't hear me wrong. We need sermons. I'm preaching, right? I'm preaching. You guys, we books are good. Crazy Love, who's read Crazy Love? Awesome book. If you haven't read it, read it. But I said, you're always just reading. But what about, like, when I don't hear you praying much. I don't hear you turn Hillsong on and just worship the Lord. He knew a lot about God, but he didn't know God much. I'm being honest. And he admitted it. That's what was missing in my life. When I was studying about the cross of Christ, I was learning a lot about God, but it wasn't propelling me into knowing him. Like, here's the difference. Facebook. Who's on Facebook? It's like a love-hate relationship. You love it, you hate it. Like, I always want to delete it, but you guys are on, like, Snapchat now. You're, like, the new generation. I don't have any idea what you guys do. But I think a lot of us treat Jesus like Facebook. I think a lot of us treat God like Facebook. It's like we love to just get on there and, oh, yeah, I saw that you died on your sin, for our sins, like 2,000 years. That's cool. I like that. Like it. Right? And you're learning about him, but you actually don't even know him. You ever met that person that's like, something serious happens in your life and you haven't seen this person in years, but something happened recently and then you see him in public, you're like, oh, I saw that bloody, bloody, blah happen. You're like, what? What was your name again? I think that's how it is with Jesus sometimes and with the Father. It's like, who are you? It's like, you're just on my Facebook. Like, if I only had a relationship with my wife through my Facebook, I wouldn't be married. Right? Learning about God needs to lead you into relationship with God. There was a couple years ago, back in like 2007, I didn't even know how to play guitar. But I was mowing yards at the, who's been to Golf and Gator in Cocoa Beach? You guys ever go across the water? Yeah. So Golf and Gator, it's like a putt-putt place, but it was something else back then. I was weed eating. It was like early in the morning and I'm weed eating and I'm just praying and I hear the Lord just in my heart say, I want you to learn how to play guitar. I want you to learn how to play guitar. I was like, okay. I'm like, Father, why? You know? And he's like, it's going to please me. It's going to please me. You guys okay? Oh, you spilled something. Need help? Is that blood? You spilling blood? You making atonement? Jesus made atonement for you. Just kidding. Here you go. Clean it up for you. Yeah, here you go. Okay. So I'm sitting there. I'm standing there weed eating and it's early morning. The Father's like, I want you to learn how to play guitar because I want you to worship me. I want you to just go into your room and worship me. And I'm like, okay, why? And I just heard the Lord say, cause it's going to please me. It's going to bless me. And so here I am 2007. I start writing songs and are we okay? And I say that so much. You know why I say that? Because one time I preached 40 minutes past what I was supposed to preach. And the youth pastor was like on the stage, like, stop, stop. And I was just going for it. And that's why I'm like a little paranoid about it. So just being honest with y'all. So I started learning guitar. I started playing songs like just in my alone time. He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. Yeah, old school. That's 2007. You guys are so not there. But I'm just worshiping the Lord in my own time. I don't even know how to play. Like what I do, can I use your guitar as an example, Manny? Okay, so I would literally be like, I would just,
I was like, jeez, yeah, it was horrible. Like, but I was just mute. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get some rhythm, right? That's all I was trying to do. And actually,
how many of you guys know Matt Redman? Matt Redman. He wrote 10,000 Reasons. You guys know 10,000 Reasons? Okay. That's how he started leading worship. God simply called him into his bedroom to just worship, just spend time with the Father. And that's what I started doing. I just started spending time with the Lord. And it's amazing how God has already just given me songs. I never thought, like, I've helped lead worship some nights, and I'm probably not that great. But I never started for you guys. I started leading worship because I wanted to spend time with God. Does that make sense? I just wanted to spend time with him. And I can't tell you guys how much God has done in my life just by getting alone. How many of you guys, like, your car is your sanctuary? Like, you get in the car and you just worship the Lord. And you're bawling, and it's like you're at 520 and quarter. You're like, oh, Jesus. Oh, oh. And you look over and somebody's looking at you like, you're like smoking a cigarette, like, weirdo. Weirdo, and you're just like, I don't even care. Jesus, you're amazing. Well, that's what happened for me. Like, God started just drawing me into the secret place. Do you know, that's how David, that's how he learned. He was out in the wilderness with sheep, and he just started worshiping the Lord. And we still have his songs. It's called the Book of Psalms, right? So, do you guys actually have fellowship with the Father? If you don't know Jesus, if you're not trusting in Jesus, sin has what? Separated us. But the blood of Jesus makes atonement. Let me tell you guys, Jesus is as the Father is as close as the blood of Jesus. The Father is as close to you as the blood of Jesus. And he's inviting you into fellowship with him. And that's what gives us unity. That's why we're here, right? We're not here for the pizza. Who's here just for pizza? Who's here just to find a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Hopefully none of you. I know that, you know, that's kind of what I do. But I'm sorry. She's like, don't say that. Hey, I'm thinking like, hey, if you're going to find your boyfriend or girlfriend, then go find them in the church. That's a good place to go. But maybe not. Rob can clear that up later. And if you guys are wolves, you better know we're going to kick your butt out of this place. Right? You're just here to mack on the Christian girls because they're not, you know where I'm going. No, you know what unites us is Jesus. Remember the veil? Remember he tore it. And what did we do? We come into what? Through Jesus. What do we come into? Fellowship, into the holy place. So when I was dreaming that night and God said, I tore the veil, what he was saying is, I didn't just die to save you from sin. I didn't just die because I had pity on you because you're going to spend eternity in hell. Guess what? Demons are going to spend eternity in hell. And we never think that's wrong. We never think, how dare God send demons to hell? How dare him? And yet God had mercy on us. And so he didn't just save us for that. He saved us to know us. He saved us to have experience with us. And that's why when we take the Lord's Supper, we call it what? We call it communion, the bread and the wine. What are we saying? We're saying in Jewish culture, you know what they do? They would only eat meals with people that they really were close with. So if you had an enemy, what's your name? Peyton? Who's an enemy of yours? Just be honest. Nobody in this room, but just... Do you have somebody you can't stand? Just you in your heart, think about that person. Well, Jews, they couldn't eat with Gentiles. They couldn't eat with non-Jews, right? Because that meant we are connected. We have a common interest, right? And so when we take communion, what we're saying is we're gathering at the table because we're family. And we're gathering around something. And it's called the blood and the body of Jesus. That because of the blood and the body of Jesus, we get fellowship with each other. Because the Father is my Father and your Father, we're brothers and sisters. Just because you, say one of you guys came to my family reunions, just because you're at my family reunion doesn't make you my family, right? Later on in 1 John, he's going to say, there were people that were with us, but they ended up being antichrists, and they left from us. But it's because they were never of us. It's like in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says that just as the body is one, but there's many parts, that's how it is with us. Like, my finger is of me, right? If you rip it away from me, if you separate my finger from me, I'm going to have to punch you in the face, right? Because that's going to hurt really bad. That's how it is. That there's people, I wonder if there's somebody in here who You're of us, but you're not. You're with us, but you're not of us. You're with us, but you're not of us, because it's not about being in this room. It's about being in Christ. The ecclesia is the one that's called out into Jesus, and it brings us into fellowship. So I'm going to bring my friend Tony up here. I met him at Starbucks like 2 months ago. Everybody say, hey, Tony. He is a barista. He is awesome at what he does. He just got a new job. And he has got a crazy story for you. So just give him your attention real quick.
How you guys doing? I recognize some of you from Starbucks, mainly the girls. Hey, it's the truth. But like Jordan said, I have a kind of crazy story. I'm 22 years old, and my entire life, I never knew my dad. From day one, didn't know him. No clue. Still today, don't. And that's kind of a hard thought, and I'm sure there's some of you in here that you probably don't have a parent, whether it be a mom, dad, or both. And it's hard, you know, growing up. And when I was 10, I lost my mom, too. And so not only did I not have my dad now, but my mom was gone, too. And I mean, I had other family, but that parent was gone. You know, that role model that you more than likely, you guys, you're going to model yourselves after your dad if you haven't already. And you girls, more than likely, you're going to fall after your mom. I didn't have that person to model myself after. And it's kind of hard to explain. You know, part of you isn't, you feel like it's not there. And so I went my entire childhood life and the beginning of my adult life, you know, so from 18 to recently when I was right before my 22nd birthday, I didn't have a parent. And then I finally came back to church over at East Coast, over at the mezzanine service. I'm sure you guys heard of it. And I found Jesus. And when Jordan's talking about, like, to get to the Father, you know, he's called the Father for a reason. It's not, it's called Father for a reason. He is the one that created you, me, Jordan, everyone, everything. And it wasn't until I found Jesus that he's like, hey, Anthony, Tony, look, there's your parent. So it's not just about, like, worshiping God. Don't get me wrong. It's all about, you know, you got to praise God. You got to worship God. Give him thanks. But it's not just about reading the scripture, going to church, doing your routines, doing communion, bread, wine. It's also about going to him. You know, when you guys have a problem at home, who do you go to? Your parent, your mom, dad, sometimes your old brother, you know. But you go to your parent. That's what you do with God. And it's not until you have that relationship with Jesus that you can really have that relationship with the Father as well. You know, they're three in one for a reason. You have to have one. You have to have Jesus to have the Father. And that's the biggest thing I can tell you, is you need to seek Jesus to get to the Father, because then you're going to know your dad. And that emptiness that's in you, that emptiness, that part of you that's gone, you're going to find it, and it's only with God. So, thanks, guys.
And you know what that means? That means if you guys are in Christ, if you've trusted in Jesus, if you've gone through the door called Jesus Christ, guess who you share with Tony? The Father, which means he's our what? Our brother. So when we go to church service and we say, oh, hey, brother, whatever, that's not just like a denominational thing. That really means that we're brothers. Like, I have family. You guys have family that aren't, how many of you guys have family that's not even saved? They don't know Jesus. That means we're family in a way that they're not family to you. We're brothers and sisters in a way that they're not. And we need to take care of each other, right? Because we're really brothers and sisters, because we share the same dad. He's my brother now. As of September 2015, he is our brother if you're in Christ. That's our brother. All you guys, you're my brothers. Sisters, you're my sisters. And what John is saying in 1 John, he's saying, I'm inviting you into something. Fellowship. I'm inviting you into a family. And I can't get you into the family if you don't go through Jesus. If you don't trust in what he's done for you, you're not family. I want you to be in my family so that you would actually experience my dad too, as your dad. Last night, you can sit down, Tony. Thank you. Everybody can clap for Tony. Last night, and we'll bring this to a close. Last night, I'm singing this song that I've sung to my son since I was a little boy. Since he was a little boy. So that's weird. Like, my son's holding me, you know, in the cradle. Like, weird. Hey, Manny, you can get up and start strumming if you want, man. Okay, so there's a song from Thrice. Anybody heard of Thrice? It's like an indie metal hipster band. You guys need to listen to Thrice. Hey, we sang one of Thrice's songs tonight. I was an orphan lost at the fall. The guy who wrote that song is the lead singer of Thrice. So you guys have to know Thrice. They're amazing. Everybody, go home, right? Tonight, go home and listen. Get on Spotify, whatever. Get on Spotify and listen to Thrice. Anyways, total rabbit trail, sorry. So there's a song called Wailer, and it's a song about, and listen, guys, don't be distracted. I'm sorry, I am distracting, so just listen. There's a song called Wailer, and it's my lover's arms, they beg me to stay, but I know the stars, they'll sweep me away. And then there's a part, and I put Isaiah's name into it, but it's Isaiah's eyes. They're two tiny seas whose water will rise and run down his cheeks as he says, Father, where do you go so far out upon the sea? When are you coming home to me? And when he was a little baby, he loved it. But now that he's starting to like think, he started weeping last night. Like he's like, Daddy, could you sing to me? And I said, yeah. He's like, you haven't sang to me in a little bit. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Probably should sing to you. So he's like, can you sing that one song? And I'm like, my lover's arms. He's like, how did you know? He's so cute. And so I started singing my lover's arms. But when I got to the part that said, but while they still sleep, I slip out the door. And he started weeping. I'm not kidding. Like, he was like, Daddy. Like, straight up. Like, and I'm like, my heart's like, what just happened? He's like, you can slip out the door? I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. He's like, why are you going to leave me? He's weeping. And then he started holding my face, and I just got down on his level, and I held him by the face. I said, Isaiah, I'm not going anywhere. Guys, that's a father for you. Some of you guys don't know God as father. And that longing that Isaiah has for me, that's the longing he has for you. That longing that you have for your dad, your earthly dad, is just a picture of the longing that we have for God to be our father. And through Jesus Christ, you get a relationship with him, man. What are you living for? What are you living for real? Like, what do you... You know why we're obsessed with buying things? You know why we're obsessed with getting new music and getting new clothes and getting new books and getting new video games and getting new and new and new? It's because we were made to be consumed by something. But things were never going to satisfy your heart. Only God will satisfy your heart. That's why later on in 1 John, he says, if you say you have fellowship with the Father, but you walk in darkness, you're lying. You're lying. How can you approach the one who's completely holy and also pursue sin? You can't. And so some of you guys, the only reason, you're just in this game where it's like, say no to sin, 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 instead of ever pursuing Jesus and pursuing your Father. And you know what I found? I found that as I actually pursue the Father in a relationship with him, sin takes care of itself. As you're pursuing the holiest one, the most beautiful, perfect one there is, God, how can you sin? That might blow your mind, and you might be like, I don't know that that's theologically correct. But Jesus, how did he start this thing with his disciples? He started with two words. What are they? Follow me. Follow me. The Father is here right now by the Holy Spirit. And his call to you guys is simply follow me. Get to know me. Get to know me. You don't learn how to pray by just reading books. You learn how to pray by praying. The way I could give you all kinds of principles, and I wanted to, on how to develop and cultivate a relationship with God. But the Holy Spirit will teach you that. You trust in Jesus Christ, and tonight, while we worship the Lord, you simply say, Father, teach me how to know you better. the one thing the disciples asked of Jesus is, teach me to pray. I want to know how to pray. Guess what they understood about Jesus? He has something I don't have. He has a relationship with the Father that I want. And so the disciples went to Jesus and said, teach me how. I want to pray. I want to know God. My prayer tonight, guys, is that you would want to know God more. You can never know him enough. There's always more. And maybe I'm running past my time, but how many of you guys like to get a suntan? Yeah, the girls, obviously. The guys like, whatever. But do you ever get jealous of the girl with the suntan? Like, oh man, she's always got a tan. Oh man. You know what's funny? Is you have the ones who get jealous about suntans and the girls that always have the suntans, always got the nice legs, right? You have the same sun they do. Just go spend time with it. But that's how it is in Christianity, guys. That's how it is in Christianity. We look at people like Chris Tomlin. Somebody's talking to me about Chris Tomlin. We look at guys like Titus Green, or we look at people like Rob, and we're like, dang, he really loves God, man. I like that. Man, I really wish I knew God like that. You have the same God he does if you're in Christ Jesus. Just spend time with him. If you guys will spend time with God, you will begin to glow. People will begin to ask something like, what's different about you? And you can simply say, I know Jesus. And they're like, oh, that's really creepy. But they're going to be like doing drugs and doing all these things that the world's trying to satisfy a longing for. And you're going to be able to say, hey, man, I got Jesus. That's what you need. You need a relationship. And so tonight, as we worship with this song, I just want to encourage us to just say yes to more of God, to say yes to relationship with him. Okay, can we do that? Can we say yes? Can everybody just stand up right now? Can you just lift your hands up to your Father and just close your eyes? Just lift up your hands to the Lord right now. And everybody, just say this with me. Say, Father, I want to know you more. I want to experience you. I don't want to just know about you. I pray that the Bible would lead me into more relationship with you. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Say it with me. For the blood of Jesus that gives me access to you. Thank you that you've saved me from my sin and from wrath and from Satan. But I don't want to just be saved from something. I want to be saved for you. Teach me how to know you. And teach me how to make you known everywhere I go. In Jesus' name, amen.